SBS music station is coming.
SBS Pop Euro.
Filled with Eurovision hits non-stop.
You want more?
Tune in from the 1st of May
on DAB Radio, online,
the SBS audio app
and SBS On Demand.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Friday, the 27th of March 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market fell, but only just by 0.1%. We'll have the details in a moment with Adam Dawes from Shaw and Partners. But first, the OECD has warned global food prices could rise through to next year if the war in the Middle East persists. And that's because fertilizer shipments are being impacted. The region is the world's third largest fertilizer exporter, and Australia is a key buyer. In fact, half of Australia's imports are sourced from there. So what does the blockage of the Strait of Hormuz mean for farmers and for prices here? For that and more, I spoke with Stefan Vogel. He is the general manager of Rabobank Research. We often talk about the impact of oil, but what about fertiliser? How reliant is Australia on fertiliser from the Middle East, and to what extent has it been disrupted?
It is almost the same as oil. If you look at Australia, we are importing 85% of all of our fertiliser, and the most important in the region is nitrogen fertiliser. That makes the crop grow, and that's the one that we actually import to well over 90% into Australia. And if you look at our suppliers, 50% roughly of that nitrogen fertilizer comes actually from countries that sit in that Strait of Hormuz area. Not all of it is not getting through. We're buying in Saudi Arabia, which some of it might come from the other side of the country. But it is almost as difficult as it is for crude oil these days and diesel to make it to this country.
You mentioned that 50%. What does it mean for farmers in Australia?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't say that it is a 50% distraction, because we have a big global market, so we can always buy somewhere else. So that gives other exporters an opportunity to ship more, and we will definitely look around the world market to try and find alternative sources. So with that, if you then look on farm, we are getting here in the cropping space, fertilizers are probably the most used. So for wheat production, barley, canola, all these big crops that are growing, the farmer is right now starting the planting process. So April, May will be the key planting window. And they have fertilizer right now on the ground to get that planting done and to get the early growth feeding done. But most of them, after about 3 months, will have to buy some more volumes. So with that, we're looking actually what will be the supply be in 2 to 3 months, and farmers will definitely need to buy some more. If you don't have enough fertilizer, you will still have some crop, but the yield will be significantly lower. So with that, there is clearly an impact, but not the time yet to panic, but rather to say, do we get enough in? We see that a lot of the shipping companies in the world and a lot of the importers are working hard to find volumes in other parts of the world. Some even committing in countries in that Persian Gulf, hoping that the strait might open up. So with that, there is still availability in the market. We just seen prices go up significantly up, because we try to get that volume into Australia rather than into many other import countries in the world. So we see Brazil and India as the much bigger importers of nitrogen fertilizer. We need to make sure that the volumes from the world market flow to Australia rather than to these countries and others that want to buy it.
And noting you mentioned that there's the potential to find fertilizer from other sources, other parts of the world, what is the impact still to Australia, especially for consumers and for food prices? Will they still rise as a result of what's happening in the Middle East? Which kinds of foods will be impacted, for example?
With that, you actually need to look what happens to the Australian grain. About 80% of the grain is exported into the world market to feed other countries for their food and feed needs. So with that, only 20% of what we're producing is consumed locally. The local prices at the supermarket for bread and so on, a price rise in wheat, first of all, will not be massively increasing the cost of a bread. So the amount of flour you use and the price for that flour is only a fraction of what a bread costs you on shelf. It's packaging, it's energy, it's labor, it's transport. So with that, the flow-on effect from higher grain prices, if they would even come, is probably not as big. If you're looking at the fertilizer side, once again, for the consumer, I wouldn't be worried that the farmers who now face significantly higher prices for their inputs, we'll actually be able to pass it on. We have a very big global market for grains, and we don't expect in 2026 farmers to cut back the area that they're planting. Many of the farmers in the Northern Hemisphere who are big producers of wheat have already long planted their crops when it was time in September, October last year to do so. So they're getting closer to harvest, actually. So with it, there will be big crops in our view. Prices have increased slightly since the war started for wheat, but haven't gone up massively. So for a consumer, the fertilizer price will very likely not be the price driver of supermarket goods. However, we are still expecting that inflation in the supermarket will rise over time because energy is more expensive. With it, the transport is more expensive. Packaging will be much more expensive because a lot of the packaging, like plastic materials, is produced from crude oil that has seen these price spikes. So with that, we expect inflation, but fertilizer is probably the least of the drivers in the whole set of range of things.
That is Stefan Vogel there, the General Manager of Rabobank Research Australia and New Zealand. Let's take a look at the Australian share market now, which recovered from its late morning low, the ASX 200 down just 0.1% at the close. So it means for the week, the index actually rose 1%, snapping a three-week losing streak. Today, 7 of the 11 sectors finished in the red, technology the worst, NextDC tumbling nearly 8%. The big banks were down, but the miners rose. Energy stocks did well, especially Whitehaven Coal up 5%, and the Australian dollar trading at just on 69 US cents at the market close. For more, I spoke with Adam Dawes from Shaw & Partners. Adam, firstly, how would you describe investor sentiment at the moment?
Look, investor sentiment is certainly cautious, but it's not capitulating at the moment. I think markets are clearly in a risk-off mode, but they're yet to be pricing in, I guess, the full worst-case geopolitical shock. They're trading from headline to headline, which I think Trump really likes, is getting that headline to headline. But I think the real mood out there is uncertainty, and investors just need to calm down a little bit because one day can be bad, the other day can be good, but I think overall we are going to get ourselves out of this.
Well, here's another headline. Donald Trump said in a cabinet meeting that the market reaction to the conflict had, quote, not been nearly as severe as I thought. Would you agree? Or is the market, I guess, being too optimistic?
Yeah, I agree. I think the market is being too optimistic. Investors are still assuming that the conflict is going to be contained. And it's going to finish, you know, potentially before June. So, you know, it does seem that there's a little bit of complacency going in there. And I think that's the danger when you're an investor, that you are complacent. Now, if oil stays over $100 a barrel for longer and supply disruptions continue, then I think there's going to be repricing, inflation's going to happen, rates and growth is going to be hard to come by. And so we'll see that tail end coming through at the end of this year.
Okay, speaking of the repricing, we're seeing inflation expectations rising as a result of the war. The Commonwealth Bank today, the latest to revise higher its outlook for inflation to a peak of 5.4% in the second quarter of 26. It continues to expect another rate rise in May with a fourth hike this year possible. What's the market thinking?
I think the market's definitely thinking that we'll see another at least one rate rise this year, potentially two. So I think CBA is on the money. We saw UBS the other day come out and saying with all of this inflation, with this petrol, it's going to add another 1%. Now that's going to take us from 3.7 to 4.7. So it's not far from 5.4. But geez, if we had a 5 in front of it, Ricardo, I'd be a little bit concerned that that inflation is going to be very hard to tame, and hence then the RBA is going to have to do more. I think overall the conversation is going to change from one hike to probably two, and I think that the overall inflation is going to be harder as fuel costs rise, consumption lowers, plus food costs go higher, and you know it's the same old thing every time. So I think it's going to be a little bit hard for the RBA to keep the genie in the bottle this time around.
When you look at the markets, what are you seeing as the biggest impact the war is having? Because I know, and we've spoken a lot about it on the podcast, the oil price moving around quite dramatically, gold. Today, we're seeing the Australian dollar fall to a two-month low against the greenback. It's a big reversal for the Aussie, which was climbing ahead of this war.
Yeah, certainly was. So obviously, oil is a transmission mechanism, that is just obviously disrupting that route. Now, the Strait only sort of brings 20% of oil through globally. That means 80% still flowing. So, but we continue to keep concentrating on this 20% and how that's affecting, disruption. Then you get the panic buying, and then that's where we are with the government trying to, ease people's minds around that. Certainly, currency is definitely an impact as well. But gold hasn't traded like you would normally think it would trade in this gold, in this war scenario. So I think you've got to be a little bit careful, because obviously gold's had a fantastic run. There's no doubt about it. And now it's started to come off a little bit, but usually gold does well in a wartime scenario. So look, overall, I think the biggest impact to the market has certainly been the currency, but oil and gold are certainly there and washing things around quite a lot.
So we know that oil's being impacted by the war, so too are supplies of gas, LNG, and there's a bit of a double whammy because of Cyclone Narelle on the Western Australian coast. What kind of an impact is that cyclone having on the market?
Yeah, obviously we're watching that really, really closely from the market's perspective. We're seeing Rio, their Dampier project being sort of not shut down, but certainly being brought back. Santos has also stopped shipping gas around that area as well. But also there's a secondary market there that is being concerned. I mean, Coles has certainly brought a lot more food up there just in case the transport lines get moved through. And IAG has also set up a big call centre as well, because they're expecting a higher influx of insurance claims. So I think the market is definitely reacting to it, but keeping a close eye on it. BHP and Rio haven't been affected as of yet, but only time will tell to see how big this gets.
Okay, and in wrapping up, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
There's some really good value that's now starting to come out. Wesfarmers down 20% or 19%. Amcor's down 19%. You're looking at some really good quality blue chip stocks that have actually fallen by more than the market. Market's down, let's say, about 7.5. We're actually seeing some really good stuff actually in that blue chip space. So I think overall we're saying to clients, stay diversified, stick with the quality. Volatility obviously gives us opportunity, and I think that opportunity needs to be exploited. The worst thing you can do now is sit on your hands and do nothing. If you do something now, if you just start nibbling away, if the market goes up, well, we got set and you're okay. If the market goes down, you've got a little bit more dry powder. So don't sit on your hands and think it's going to go lower or it's going to go higher. You need to act around these levels.
Adam Dawes there from Shaw and Partners. And don't forget, he wraps up the podcast for this Friday and for the week. Don't forget, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a comment, like and subscribe. And don't forget also to watch On the Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS for more consumer finance, markets and business news of the day. There will be another SBS On the Money podcast on Monday.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.